from Atlanta, Georgia. Welcome to Fearfully and Wonderfully Me, a podcast for women on leadership and life skills with Rhea Story. Rhea shares powerful life and leadership principles, helping you maximize your potential and become the woman God created you to be.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Fearfully and Wonderfully Me, a podcast designed to empower women to become the leaders they are destined to be. This is the third episode in a three-part series on my book, Prime Time. So if you haven't had a chance to listen to the first two episodes, please go back and listen to those first, because it really helps put everything in this third episode into perspective. It kind of all comes together in this third episode. So a couple of weeks ago, we talked about awareness and knowing where we are in each dimension of life. And then last week, we talked about an acrostic called Prime, which is what the whole book is based on. And that gives us a great way to categorize our time and our activities. So now that you know which activities are high value, you know, that's any activity spent in your power block, your purpose, your passion, productive block. And then your renewal block, renewal, restoration, recreation, those activities that help fill your tank back up. Now that we know that the majority of our time, 80% of our time should be spent in those first two blocks. So how do we do that? You know, that's kind of the question. You know, now that we know where we are and where we want to go, and now that we know what our high value activities are, how do we get there? How do we implement them? How do we execute them? Right? That's the key. Who is it that says, I think it's Thomas Edison that says, vision without execution is simply hallucination, right? We don't want to just dream about a more effective life or an effectively managed life that's not overstressed and overcommitted and overbusy. We actually want to get there, and it does take a bit of work. You know, it's not going to happen instantly and overnight, but here's how we do it. Look at your calendar. I like to start for a week, but it could be a month, it could be a day. You know, you might need to start with a smaller block, but pick a block of time with your calendar in front of you or your planner, and just kind of visualize this activity. If you even wanted to actually block off in your calendar time, you could, you know, if that works better for you. But imagine that you've got a big box in front of you in your calendar, and it represents 168 hours in the week ahead. And the box has a lid that fits on top, and the lid must fit properly. Nothing can spill out over the edges or overflow the top. So you've got this giant box in front of you. 168 hours of your week next week are in this box. And every single thing that you need to do and want to do this week must fit into the box. Here's the ticket. You want to pack your big blocks first. Right? Because if you pack your big blocks first, just like your suitcase, if you're packing a suitcase, if you pack your big items first and then you pack your smaller items around the big ones and underneath them and on top of them, you'll find that you can make everything fit much easier than if you throw all the little things in there first and then try to put the big boots on top. Right? Put your big blocks in your calendar first. So big blocks would be anything from the power block, working in your strengths, creating, writing, producing, you know, those activities that are truly in alignment with your purpose and passion, and prime time is what I like to call it. And your restorative blocks, exercise or time with family, put those big blocks in first. So as you sit down with your calendar or planner in front of you, whether it's one day or one week, schedule in those big blocks, those most important high value activities first. I used to, you know, I don't really have to do this anymore, but when I worked back in my career and actually worked for, you know, a bigger organization, and the whole organization was set up on Microsoft Outlook, and of course we scheduled regular meetings and plenty of them. A big organization is going to have lots of meetings. And you know, someone could look at your calendar online and they could see if you had free time or not. So, you know, you could set your work hours according to your shift, and then anyone could schedule a meeting and invite you to that meeting, and they knew by looking at your calendar if you were available or not. So what I quickly realized was that any available time that wasn't blocked off or committed on my calendar was free game, right? Someone could set up a meeting. And that's not a bad thing, but what I realized and what I knew about myself was that my most productive time was right when I got to work. So my most productive time at work was usually about 7 or 7:30 until 9:30 or 10. I tended to get to work a little bit earlier than a lot of people, and you know, there weren't many interruptions, and I kind of just, you know, got in the zone. You know, I'd have a cup of coffee and sit down, and not a lot of people there at work yet, and I really could just tackle my high priority tasks then. And I was most productive right then. And so what I figured out was that I would block my calendar until about 9:30 or 10 every morning. I just had a recurring block that said no meetings during this time. Now, you know, sometimes there would be an urgent meeting that would pop up, or one we couldn't get scheduled any other time. And sure, I would have to, you know, arrange that and make that work. But the majority of those meetings that were flexible, I just pushed to later in the day when I wasn't at my most productive time. And that allowed me to make the best use of my time. So pack your big blocks first. If your time with your family is the most valuable thing, make sure that you're protecting that in the calendar. Make sure that you have that scheduled and committed, and it's not subject to negotiation. Just pack that in and don't pencil it in, write it in ink. You know, we don't really do this anymore because as Mac and I are both entrepreneurs and writing and speaking all over the United States, I think we counted up, and just this year we either have been or will be by the end of the year in 28 states. And so we really don't do this much anymore, but we used to be very intentional about not planning a lot of activities on the weekend because that was kind of our time together. Now, at this point, of course, we live and work together, writing and speaking and traveling together. So we really don't have to intentionally block off the weekends to spend time with one another because we do that all the time. But we did. You know, there was a time in our life when we needed to protect our time together, our relationship time. And so it was unusual for me to make a commitment to go to lunch with somebody on Saturday or something, because that was my important time with family. So there's no right or wrong answer here. You already know what's most important to you. If you've, you know, gone through the exercises I shared and thought about what are your high value, high priority tasks, now it's simply a matter of executing. So as you put them down in stone on your calendar and really, really make that commitment to stick to them, the other activities, the less valuable activities, will fill in the gaps. You know, you're still going to get junk emails that you'll have to sort through. That's great, but you can sort through them after you've spent time with your family, or after you've spent time working and making a living, or creating or writing a book or working on your podcast. So those little activities are still going to come, but they'll fill in the gaps rather than filling up the gaps, and then there aren't any more gaps. So pack the big blocks first. And then last but certainly not least, the number one most effective tool in cutting through the whirlwind life is learning to say no. Learn to say no. John Maxwell says, the secret of success is determined by your daily agenda. Right? And it takes discipline to say no, but we've got to say no with a smile because we are committed to something else. Learn to say no. Learn to say no gracefully. Learn to say no thank you, but learn to say no, because what we say yes to shapes our life. But what we say no to gives us the space to shape a legacy and a lifetime. Right? We say no to the good things so that we can say yes to the great things. I think I've shared with you before, you know, I love teaching group fitness, and I've been teaching group fitness for more than 10 years. But this year, I realized that time and energy spent teaching group fitness, while it was a good thing, the season for it had really come to an end with our, you know, we're traveling a lot more, we're doing a lot more speaking, and I wanted to dedicate more of my time and energy into those activities. And I couldn't, you know, I couldn't do that as well if I'm dedicating a significant chunk of my week to teaching group fitness. Now, I love teaching group fitness and it's a good thing, but saying no to that has given me more time and energy to say yes to those really great things where I'm able to impact people at a different level. Now, I'm the only one that can make that decision. No one could make that decision for me. No one can make it for you. No one can tell you that you're spending your time in a less effective way than you want to. Only you know that. But you know that. And so saying no to what's good, and they are good things, that's why it's hard to say no to them, but the more strength we put into that no, the easier it becomes later on. So it's kind of like our physical fitness gets stronger, so will our mental discipline. As we learn to say no with a smile, because we're saying yes to more important priorities for us. And, you know, if you can't say no right away, learn to say, well, let me think about it and buy yourself a time. I know I'm not the only one who said yes on the spot, and then the next day or that evening or the next week, you start thinking, you're like, man, I wish I had not committed to go into that party or lunch or birthday. Man, it would sure be nice if I had the Saturday afternoon at home catching up instead of, you know, feeling stressed because I'm at a birthday party. You know, so just learn to say no. And if you don't want to start there, learn to say, hey, let me think about it, or let me get back to you. Because I've learned, I know about myself, is that if I have to make a decision on the spot, sometimes it's not the best decision. So it's certainly okay to say, let me check with my calendar, let me think about it, and I'll let you know right away. So a couple of really good, powerful tools there. And like any powerful tool, they sound simple, and they are. Simple doesn't necessarily mean easy, though. It sounds simple, and it is, but it's not necessarily easy to do. And that's why so few people actually get there, because it's not easy. It does take a little bit of discipline. It takes a little bit of mental discipline and strength to be firm and say no to some things so you can say yes to the best things. Until next time.
Start increasing your influence and maximizing your potential with Rhea's audiobooks. Available at audible.com, amazon.com, and iBooks. Please visit rheastory.com to learn about Rhea's books, resources, speaking, and training programs. Thanks for listening.